Hello, hello, and welcome to another Monday and another new episode of the Mindset Mules podcast. I am Didi, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we begin, I want to check in with you traditionally, as we always do. How are you doing? How is your long-term vacation? For those of you who are working essentials, how are you finding this podcast helpful? Has it been helpful to you? I tip off my hat to all of you essential workers, janitors, nurses, doctors, people on the front line fighting the battles of this dangerous disease that we're facing. I tip my hat off to all of you post workers, people who are delivering mail, delivering food, people who have to get out to win bread at this time. I commend you. I salute you. Thank you to all of you. You are our soldiers, and you're doing an amazing, amazing job, and we can never thank you enough for everything that you're doing. Excuse me. So welcome. I have been promising to start on a goal setting journey because the whole month of March and April, May, the original plan was to really dive into goal setting, journaling, and how to really get your goals quicker and more efficiently, and not really having a fear of achieving those goals, you know, just getting to them and getting things done, despite the fact that we might have a pause on us. That does not mean that your life goals have to be changed completely. There are some things that we can alter. There are some alternatives that we can take and still arrive at the same destination. Yes, even at a time where there is a international lockdown on all of us. So I kid you not, when I was thinking about goal setting, I wanted to think a little outside of the box. What do I mean by that? I mean, like, I wanted to step out of westernized thinking. I believe that westernized thinking is very helpful in a lot of ways, but the reason what I notice is that coming from an African continent and also knowing a lot of foreign people, what I notice is that foreign people get to their goals a little more efficiently than people who are westernized. People who are westernized, especially in the United States, what I notice is that I'm not trying to put anybody down, okay, guys? Please hear me out. I'm not trying to put anyone down here. What I'm trying to say is we can all learn from each other. Like, the West can learn from foreign people too. We always have the concept of foreign people have to adjust to Western ways. But there are some things that Westerners, I'm meaning like people in the United States, Europe, Canada, there are things that we can learn from people from Asia and Africa, that if we incorporate those things and those concepts into our daily lives, those things will take us very, very far, because we have more resources than people living in underdeveloped countries in Africa. But we somehow tend to be a little lazy. We tend to procrastinate despite the resources that we have, because we take a lot of things for granted. Let's just be very honest. We take a lot of things for granted. So when I was thinking goal setting this month, I was not going to regurgitate the same concepts that you've been hearing. I wanted to go into let's say the Japanese culture, for example. So I picked a book, very unique, that really goes into the concepts of Japanese thinking and how Japanese philosophy helps, you know, people achieve goals a little faster, and what are the simple concepts that they use? I have always been very fascinated by Asian educational systems. What we have to learn at a time like this is that we cannot be dependent on just one continent for all of our reproductions. Like, Apple is highly dependent on China to be able to facilitate labor and make it easier. And China is highly dependent on Africa to facilitate resources, natural resources, in order for it to get those elements and those basic elements in order to fabricate whatever it is that they fabricate. But I'm thinking this time is a really good time for the West to copy some of the educational systems, educational concepts of the Asian culture, and incorporate it into our educational system. I feel like we're doing the same thing every single year and we're expecting different results. What I'm noticing is that a lot of African nations right now they have this whole coronavirus under control. For example, the president of Madagascar has actually come up with this drink. It's called COVID Organic, and it's actually curing this disease, you know, but the World Health Organization is going to tell people not to trust it because, quote, it hasn't been tested and proven. But the real issue behind it is political. And this is working, but they're not going to invest. The West is not going to go ahead and invest, you know, because they think they're better. They think they're better. So they're not going to go ahead and put their money in there. If it's not tested by the West or fabricated and has the West name on it, they're not going to invest in the medication, even though the medication has been proven to be curing the disease in Madagascar and in Togo and in Senegal and in Mali, all around Africa right now. This medicine is working, but they're not going to do it because it is not working. It doesn't have the name of the West on it. It doesn't have their label on it. So I want to really challenge you. If you are in the United States, Canada, Europe, I want to challenge you a little bit. I want you to really think outside of the box. Do we really know it all? Are we the best, really, as we like to think that we are? We are going to have to open our eyes and see how the rest of the world is faring compared to the United States right now. Does the United States really know it all? Is the United States really as powerful as it likes to think? Because we have countries like Madagascar who are already open because they came up with a medication that's curing COVID-19. But the United States refuses to even communicate with the president of Madagascar. They're not even looking there. They're not even reporting it on CNN. It's not even news, you know. But if it's the first time you're listening, I really want you to look into the president of Madagascar has came up with COVID Organic. It is a drink that is curing COVID-19. I am reading this from YouTube. Yes, you can quote me on that. A lot of us Africans, we know what's what. So I'm not afraid to say what I need to say. I said it. But anyway, I'm going to go into goal setting and how other countries and their perspective really helps them achieve their goals. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how to set goals with Kaizen and Ikigai. This is a Japanese strategy setting guide. And it's called Focus, Cure Procrastination, and Increase Personal Productivity, Achieve Success through Discipline and Making Good Habits. And the author is Anthony Raymond. So this is somebody that has went ahead and researched Japanese strategies on how to set their goals. How do Asians really achieve their goals? Let's face it, Asians are very successful people, period. Their education, the way they They manufacture products. Everything, almost everything is made out of China. If it's not made out of China, whoever else made it got something out of China to make it. You know, everything is made out of China. And it's scary to think that we are so dependent on one single nation for all, for the majority of the production worldwide. That is scary. And we need to wake up. So, this book by Anthony Raymond is focusing on four concepts, four Asian concepts that Asians use in order to achieve their goals. And they're very, very simple, simple concepts. However, they're very effective. I'm going to have this episode into two parts. The first part is going to be focusing, the one we're doing today, we're going to be focusing on basically the first two concepts, and then in the next episode we're going to be focusing on the two other concepts that Asians use to achieve their goals. Before we even get to goal setting and all of that, you know how we operate here. This is called the Mindset Muse because I try to get to the fundamentals of stuff. I try to get to the basic fundamentals of stuff. What is the lying? What is the root cause of something? So we if we're going to be doing something, we're going to start at the root. If we start at the root, then we'll be more successful at it. So I don't want to just graze at the surface and come tell you, oh, you should just write in your journal, set your goals and achieve them. Well, that's easy to say, but we need to get to the basic root, the base of why it is we do what we do and how we can understand ourselves better so that when we start writing down our goals and we hit like a roadblock, we know exactly what it is and that we know how to get out of that roadblock right away and not have any mental blocks on us. So anyway, what are these four concepts that Asians use? The four concepts are, the first one is Lingqi. The second one is called Honsei. The third one is Ikigai. And then the last, but definitely not the least, is Kaizen. I'm not sure if I'm saying these right. Lingqi, it's a little harsh. We're going to be focusing on Lingqi and Honsei in this episode. Lingqi basically means, literally means death by a thousand cuts. So when it is estimated to have started 200 BC, where the empress or the emperor at the time would punish prisoners or people who were criminals by slowly slicing their skin. By slicing their skin a little slowly, and then eventually it comes to their demise. They end up dying a slow death. So it's a very evil concept, but the author is saying here that every single problem that we have didn't just come one day. Boom. It didn't just hit us one day. It started with small, tiny, little problems. For example, you don't wake up with 10 pounds on you. You know, you didn't wake up one day, you were in a great shape, you had a flat stomach, you had biceps, you know, in great shape, your legs are looking good, and then you woke up the next day, boom, your belly is round, your arms are flabby, your legs are wobbly, you know, you have a double chin the next day. That's not what happens, right? That's not how problems come about. You gain weight by slowly adapting certain habits. For example, maybe you eat ice cream at 10 o'clock at night and then you go to bed right away. Maybe you have, Doritos and stuff right around your bed. You have Twinkies at 11 o'clock at night before you go to sleep. You know, you're not fasting. You're not really, you find every excuse not to go for a walk around your neighborhood. You find every excuse not to like go to the gym. You find every excuse in the book not to go on YouTube and work out for 5 minutes. You just little by little, you develop all of these tiny little habits. And before you know it, you wake up one day, maybe a year, well, if you do that, about a month later, you're going to gain some pretty good weight on you. So after a month, you wake up and boom, your chins are doubled or tripled. You have a belly falling on your thighs and, you know, you gain weight. So that's what lynching means. It means like a death by a thousand cuts. But I believe that you can also apply it the other way around. You can also use lynching to your advantage. For example, you're not going to be coming to having six packs, the next day. You're not going to be having six packs the next day. So it's like little by little by little. Like, let's say me, I follow this girl on YouTube. Her name is Vicky Justice, which I really like her. I really think you should check her out. Vicky Justice has these tiny little 20 minutes workouts, like 20, 10 minutes, 14 minutes workouts. And she works out your arms some days. You're working your arms and your back. Some days you're working your thighs and then your booty. So small little exercises. And the next thing I knew, like I just started doing this like maybe a month, and I'm noticing the difference. You know, I'm not doing a whole lot of stuff. Like, I can't go to the gym. I'm not doing a whole lot of stuff. All I'm doing is 20 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 14 minutes here, you know. And then I do a little bit of yoga. Two of my favorite girls on YouTube that I follow for yoga, I follow Yoga with Cassandra with a K, and I follow Yoga with Adrian. These two girls are amazing yoga instructors, and I follow them, and they have very short yoga practices that you can use. And little by little, like, you don't have to do a whole lot. You don't have a big belly one day and then you woke up the next day because you do one exercise, you wake up one day with six packs. That's not what happens. We all know that, right? So lynching basically means death by a thousand cuts, but you can also have life by tiny little breathing, by tiny little actions. And then the second one is honsei. Honsei basically is it's a Japanese method. The first one is a Chinese word. It's a Chinese method. The second one, honsei, is a Japanese method. And what it means is it's the art of self-reflection. So this is not really to put you down. It's not used to put you down or be harsh on you and tell you, oh, you're horrible. No, it's self-reflection. It's an objective self-reflection. It's very meditative. And what you do is you essentially just go into your own mind and you look at your actions objectively. The better way to do this really is to keep a journal of whatever you do on a daily basis. So whenever you're trying to do something, you keep a journal, see, you know, what results did I get this week? How do I keep this result from happening again if I don't like it? How do I create more of this result because I really like this result? So that's what honsei is. Companies like Toyota and Honda and Hyundai, Mercedes-Benz, these are the type of concepts that they use. The author is saying that we, as individuals, we can also apply these concepts to our own daily lives in order to achieve our goals. So the reason I wanted to really dive into this concept is because it breaks down some things that I wanted to really touch. So honsei basically just means like we are understanding our failures, and we see how our failures came about, and then we strategize how to prevent them. We come up with plans to prevent them from happening again. Basically, honsei will help you get to clarity better. So under Lingqi, the author has broken down the four vices that work against our goals. What are those four vices? He said they are procrastination, laziness, self-doubt, and fear of goals. The book really goes into like how procrastination can really destroy you, and I think it's very instrumental in allowing or opening the consciousness of people who are procrastinators. Like if you're a procrastinator, this really will open up your consciousness. When I was listening to it, this is what I read. Like delaying important tasks. Procrastination basically means delaying important tasks because they seem too difficult at the moment. When we push away important tasks, our destination is ultimately nowhere. So if we keep pushing away our important tasks, we ultimately are going to be getting nowhere. But it's going to be taking a subtle form. Like, you know, it's under Lingqi, so it's going to be taking a very subtle form. You're going to be enjoying it, but you don't know the damage that it's doing until it's too late. We lose valuable time when we procrastinate. When we procrastinate on big life goals, we may not notice the result of that till 5 or 10 years down the road. And the author is saying that when we wake up 10 years later and we realize nothing has changed, the worst part of that is that we cannot replenish those 10 years. Time is one of those resources that is always diminishing by the moment. Time is one of the only resources I know that you cannot replenish. You cannot replace time. This is why one of my biggest pet peeves is somebody wasting my time, because all you're going to say when you waste my time is that you're sorry. You're not going to be able to replace me that time. If you waste 30 minutes of my time, you're not going to pay me back in 30 minutes. If you waste an hour of my time, you're not going to be able to pay me back in an hour. You know, you can't pay me back. You cannot replenish time. So I do not like time wasters at all. If I know you're wasting my time, I am going to quit you. I am going to quit you without any feelings, any kind of explanation, any kind of remorse. I will not care if you're a time waster. I will walk away and just close the door and lock it and drop the keys in the ocean, basically. Because we can create many, many things. I am a creative. I create a lot of things. But one thing I have not come up with yet is how I can create time. I don't know how to create time. So we cannot replenish it. So what procrastination does is like it gives away life-changing opportunities. Whereas when we prepare for the arrival of opportunities, when they come, then we're able to catch them. Procrastination always will lead you to missing life-changing opportunities. Procrastination will lead you to avoid routine and discipline. It eventually reduces your self-esteem. And it's a very gradual process. It's a slow killer. That's why the author put it on the Lingqi. You lose confidence in yourself. And eventually when you lose confidence, what's happening is you eventually start to develop anxiety and depression, you know. And procrastination is very, very unhealthy, because anxiety and depression are slow killers. Anxiety and depression will lead to stress, and which will lead to a lot of diseases. And we talked about this in earlier episodes about how depression and anxiety affect your physiology and eventually your health. The second vice under Lynchy, the second slow killer, is self-doubt. When you're telling yourself, I can't do this. You know, self-doubt is said by the author to be the worst enemy of setting your goals. We have to be able to move past self-doubt. One of the things that I learned from earlier books that we discussed is that we don't have to listen to everything the mind is telling us, because it is very important that we interrupt our routines too. Whatever routine you have, it is very important that we interrupt those routines by applying hindsight, by analyzing those routines and making sure that they're actually working in our favor. If they're not working, then we need new routines. So self-doubt basically it's how is that developed? It's probably developed from maybe your teacher or your mom, your dad, or somebody that you knew at an earlier age that told you something that keeps playing over and over and over in your head. In those years when your brain was developing, there might have been people around you that didn't know how to talk to you, you know, children, and they basically didn't encourage you, and you essentially just like have that in your mind that you can't do this because this so-and-so said so. But those people do not define you. But we have to move past self-criticism. And one of our responsibilities as adults, when we grow older, one of our major responsibilities is to choose the people surrounding us, because we are the immediate result of the five major people that we surround ourselves with. Our partners, we have to choose our life partners carefully. Are those people encouraging us? Are they really, are they helping us become better people? That does not mean that if somebody is close to you and they see you doing something that's going to be detrimental to you and they are very honest with you, you have to be able to appreciate people like that, because you don't want people that are also enablers either. You don't want people that are always telling you, oh, you're right. No, you're not always right. So you need somebody that's going to be brutally honest, but you also need that person to be encouraging and loving in that brutal honesty. So it's not always the case that we need people who are always agreeing with us, who are always in harmony with us. Those people can also be very, very harmful to our future goals, to our destinies, to us reaching our goals. You don't want people to be agreeing with you all the time. You want somebody that's going to be taking a look objectively at what you're doing and really approach it with a strategy that's going to be helping, you know, with a strategy that's going to be intelligent, like an intellectual strategy, an intellectual approach that's going to be getting you to your goals a lot faster and more efficiently. So let's be very careful when we're saying, oh, I don't want to choose people who are always negative. Well, sometimes when people are telling you the truth, it may sound negative, but you want to analyze what they're saying and also analyze their intentions. I always look at the intention. I'm like, why is this person saying this? So what I've learned this month is that I'm not going, and it's not to assume that I understand what somebody's telling me right away. I always say, okay, I have my own lens within which I am looking at things. So when somebody says something to me, I might be offended right away. But when I go in and I start to analyze what the person is saying, or sometimes I would go in and I'll ask the person questions. So I'd be like, instead of just assuming, I'd be like, okay, so you said this, what do you mean by it? Okay, so that's what you mean. Oh, okay. So you don't mean it like this. To be like, no, I would never mean that like that. And, you know, communication is an art. And if you can master communication, you can master any relationship. So I always ask questions. I stop assuming. And I always come with the question approach. And I'm like, okay, when you said this, it really hurt me. But what do you mean by it? Okay, and then the person will say, oh, you know what? This is what I mean by it. And we eventually end up really understanding each other. And I want, you know, like the culture of social media has gotten to the point where we the memes and all of that say, you know, if somebody's negative, cut them off. No. Are they really being negative? Or are they telling you the truth? Are they trying to get you somewhere a little more better? Do they see that whatever you're doing right now, you can do better? And so they're trying to push you harder. So let's make sure that we're not always cutting people off who are trying to help us. And this is not to be confused with people who are literally trying to destroy you. There are people out there who may just trying to destroy you. Their intention is to come after you and tear you apart, and they will do it over and over again. How do you notice the difference? The difference is when you ask the question. When you ask somebody the question, wait for their answer. And say, you know, if somebody say, you know, you look awful in that picture. Okay. That hurt my feelings that you told me I look awful in that picture. Can you tell me what your intention is? Why did you say that? What was the usefulness of your comment? You know, what are you trying to accomplish with that goal, with that comment that you made? What is your intention behind it? You know, what do you mean by that? You know, and then when you ask questions, you know, and the person might even become aware of how they're presenting themselves to you, and they might stop doing that. You know, so it's not always cutting people off. Sometimes you may just have to improve your communication with people in order to become, to have a better relationship with everyone around you, so to speak. All right, so the third advice against us achieving our goals is laziness. This one, I'm not going to go into too much into it. I think self-doubt and procrastination has really covered laziness. Laziness starts with wanting to conserve energy. Most people say, oh, I just want to conserve my energy. I just want to be able to be safe this time. I don't want to bother myself. I don't want to work hard. That's how laziness starts. However, it turns out to become a burden because you end up creating destructive habits with it, with no hope for the future. You know, when we're fighting these tiny little battles against laziness, self-doubt, procrastination, and we're winning every time, that's how we arrive at success. Every single person experiences these vices, even successful people. The difference between successful and unsuccessful people is that successful people are able to move past these things and actually win the battles. They're winning these tiny little battles, you know. So Lynchy, the positive side of Lynchy, they're winning these tiny little battles, and eventually 10 years later, they're successful. That's essentially what it is. I say the word basically a lot. I don't know why. It sounds so, you know, like, oh, why am I saying it? It's so automatic in my mouth. I hate that. So anyway, fear of setting goals is the fourth vice under the concept of Lynchy. So fear of setting goals. The author essentially, or I need to really go on Google and find like other alternatives to this word. The author essentially is saying, you know, the fear of setting goals. Every single goal that we're setting, the ultimate risk is that it might not turn out the way that we're setting it. That's the risk. Okay, but if you don't know this, when you start working on your goal and you come up with the first failure or what may seem like a failure, you know, most people will give up. Most people give up and they say, you know, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. It's not meant to be. You know, most people just say, it's not meant to be. That is a lazy talk. It's not meant to be is a lazy, lazy talk. You know, successful people don't say stuff like that. They make sure that even if one window is closed, they go to the second window and the third window and the fourth window and the 10th, all the way to the 10th, 20th window. They will find windows. They will break a wall into that freaking building until they make their own window and door, whatever channel. Maybe they'll go into the tunnels. They'll go into the ventilator tunnels. That's how successful people operate. They don't go, oh, this girl didn't work. It's not meant to be. That's lazy people talk. So basically, the problem is to move past your failures and keep the same energy. Like, your first attempt at achieving a goal is not going to be successful. You know, we want to analyze our routines. We want to be consistently interrupting our routines. Not that we want to, you know, change everything about our routine that's working. If the stuff is working, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So if the stuff is giving you the results that you want, why would you want to change it? But if it's not giving you the result that you want and you're not where you want to be, if you're doing the same exercise and you're not getting the fat out of that little gut area that you want it out of, maybe you should try running. Maybe you should try sprinting. You know, sprinting is one of my favorite exercises, by the way. I love sprinting. If I sprint for 2 days in a week, whoo, my body is like snatched. Snatched. So I love sprinting when I'm feeling like, when I'm having one of those weeks where I know that I'm not gonna have time to work out every single day. What I do is I sprint, or if I'm going on a hot date, like in 5 days, 2 out of those 5 days, I'm going sprinting. Yeah. And sprinting only like for like maybe what, 2 minutes in the morning, just sprint in the neighborhood, I mean between 5 houses in the neighborhood, back and forth for like 2 or 3 minutes, do suicides. Yeah. Snatch you right back. It doesn't matter how bad your shape is, it's going to be improving. I love sprinting. Anyway, guys, so this is going a little longer than I wanted it to. Anyway, I just wanted to break this book down into those concepts. So this is the first part. The second part will be next Monday. Please, if you are listening to the Mindset Muse podcast, do not be a stranger. We have a YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I need subscribers, please. That really helps me out. We have, it's called the Mindset Muse podcast on YouTube. So I'm doing this audio only in video form. And then I do have another YouTube channel. It's just called the Mindset Muse. So the Mindset Muse podcast is for the podcast, and then the Mindset Muse is for like meditation, things to help you fight through insomnia, things to help you get to the goal of setting your mind right. So it's basically it's essentially based on like meditation and relaxing. It's like the action part of this, of what I'm doing. So this one is just the theory that I'm giving you, but the Mindset Muse channel is the action part of it. It's how to arrive at the actual goal of changing your mindset and getting your mind right. And then we are also on Instagram at the Mindset Muse podcast. Go ahead and follow us there as well. My personal Instagram page is DD_ESSE, DDE_ESSE. That is my personal account. So go ahead and follow me on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook at DDESSE. Also, I wanted to give you a really awesome report about my project that I did, the fundraiser that I did. We ended up feeding over 152 families. So maybe like around 157 families is what we ended up feeding people with, just 1,313. I want to be doing this, more of this in the future, because I was so happy that we were able to feed so many people with so little money. So I want to thank again everyone on the front line, and everybody that's on the front line of this COVID-19. I thank everyone in my country that's helped me distribute food. I thank all of you who have donated. I thank everybody on my social media pages. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Monday. Have an amazing, successful, and productive week. I wish you the best. All right. All love. Much love. One love. Ciao.